plant your seed and reap your blessing. We all want to be brave soldiers of the cross, people who are willing to walk by faith and not by sight. We want to be brave from the sense that we don't want to be timid in our faith and in our trust in Jesus Christ. But I do believe that all of us want to have the confidence of Paul and even the commitment of Stephen. We want to be able to say that we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. We want to be able to stand tall and declare, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We want to be brave soldiers of the cross. We just don't want to sing about it, but we want to be it. We want to be able to say, not only am I on the battlefield for the Lord, but we want to mean that we're on the battlefield for the Lord. And I believe that all of us, as we continue this walk of faith, we want to be brave soldiers of the cross and even followers of the Lamb. One summer morning, as Ray Blankenship was preparing his breakfast, he gazed out of the window and he saw a small girl who was being swept along in the rain-flooded drainage ditch next to his home. Blankenship knew that farther downstream, the ditch would disappear underneath the road, and then it would empty into the main cesspool. Blankenship dashed out of the door, raced along the ditch, trying desperately to get ahead of the child. He then hurled himself into the deep, churning water and was able to grab the child's arms. They tumbled end over end, and they came within about 3 feet of the deep cesspool. It was then that Blankenship's free hand felt something, possibly a rock, that was protruding out. He clung desperately, but the tremendous force of the water tried to tear him and the child away. It was then that Blankenship thought, if I can just hang on until help comes. But he did better than that. For by the time the fire department and the rescuers arrived, Blankenship had pulled the girl to safety. Both were treated for shock. And on April 12, 1989, the United States Coast Guard awarded Ray Blankenship with a life-saving medal. And the award was fitting because of what Blankenship was willing to do, but it was even more befitting because Blankenship could not swim. We all want to be brave. And then I also believe that as we live out this life, that we also want to be benevolent and we want to give as well as to receive. We want to be kind and just to those we come in contact with. In fact, every third Sunday, as part of our church covenant, there is something that we read, and I don't know if we pay a whole lot of attention to it, but what it says is that we will be kind and just to those in our employ and faithful in the service that we promise others. In other words, what we are saying is that we want to be benevolent, for we do understand that it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. That we want to share with others the kindness that God has shown unto us, that God has been tender, merciful towards us, and that God has been patient and loving and kind towards us. And because of the loving kindness that God has shown us in our own lives, we then want to show that unto somebody else. And so as we live out this life, that we all want to be benevolent, and we want to show kindness and generosity to those that we meet along the way. But then I also understand that the greatest thing that all of us want to receive in life is that we want to be blessed. We want to be blessed in the morning, we want to be blessed at noontime, and we even want the Lord to bless us late at night. We want the Lord to bless our going in, we also want him to bless our going out. We want the Lord to bless us from the rising of the sun even until the going down of the same. I think that all of us want God to move in our lives in such a way that God just keeps pouring out blessings. For surely there might be dewdrops falling all around us, but what we need are blessings. And so therefore, as we live out our lives, day in and day out, we want the Lord to bless us real, real good. And I don't know about you this morning, but I don't want somebody else's blessings. But guess what? I just want my own blessing. I don't want the promises that God has given to somebody else. But I just want all of the promises that God has in store for my life. For I do understand that whatever it is for me, it is for me. That I understand that can't nobody take my blessing, because God has predetermined and God has made it right for my life. And so as we live out our lives, I believe that we all want to receive the blessings of God. Is here in the text I'm sharing with you this morning, we find that there was a man named Isaac, and Isaac is now about to receive the blessings of God. That what happens in the text is that God has promised Isaac that he will be blessed. But the irony of it is that Isaac does not truly understand how it's going to happen. God said he's going to bless him. God said he's going to do something marvelous in his life, but Isaac does not truly understand just how the Lord is going to do it. And you know, that's how it is oftentimes, that God gives us promises and God tells us that he's going to bless us. But although God tells us that he's going to bless us, that we don't always see it and we don't always understand it and we don't know exactly how he's going to do it. Here was the dilemma that Isaac was now facing. God has said to Isaac that he's going to bless his life, but yet Isaac does not understand how it's going to happen. And not only does he not understand how it's going to happen, but it comes unexpected. You know, that's how God moves on occasion, that God blesses us in ways that are truly unexpected. When you look back over your life and you think about all of the blessing that God has brought to pass and all that God has done for you, a whole lot of things that God has done for you, you did not expect it and you did not understand how God was going to do it, but you are thankful this morning that somehow the Lord made a way somehow. And so it was that with Isaac, we are told that God has promised him that he's going to bless him. But in order for Isaac to receive the blessings of God, God tells Isaac that he's got to stay right where he is. Now, this doesn't seem real strange when you stop and consider it, but you've got to understand that where Isaac was, that there was a famine in the land. In fact, the scripture says that this famine was greater than the first famine. And so in spite of the famine that now Isaac is dealing with, God tells Isaac to stay in the famine. Isaac had made up his mind that he was going to leave and that he was going to go to Egypt. But God tells Isaac, don't go to Egypt, but stay in Gerar. And I want you to know that the good news about this is that it reminds us that even though you might be in famine, that God might tell you to stay right there. That even though you might want to move out and you might want to go to Gerar and you might want to go to Egypt, God might tell you to stay right where you are. And the reason that God may want you to stay where you are is because God can bless you in a famine. That you don't have to be in a land of plenty, that you don't have to be in a bountiful place, that God can bless you right where you are. But you know, oftentimes we want to get out of the place. When we're in a place of uncomfort, when we're in a place of discontent, when we're in a place of famine, what we really want to do is that we want to leave. But I want to remind somebody this morning that you might be in a hopeless place, but stay right there. You might be in a place wherein there is no promise, there is more pain than promise, but stay right there. God tells Isaac to stay where he is. But not only does he tell Isaac to stay where he is, but he also tells Isaac to savor the promises of God. He tells Isaac this. He says, Isaac, I want you to know that I will be with thee. I will bless thee. And I will be unto thee and unto thy seed. He's letting Isaac know that in the midst of your famine, in the midst of all that you might be going through, in the midst of all of your hopelessness and your pain, I'm still your God. And I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but somebody needs to know that no matter what you're going through, that he is still your God. That you might have had some weary nights, that you might have had some long nights, but he is still your God. Don't think for one moment that God has abandoned you or that God has forsaken you or that God has forgotten about you, because no matter how dark the night is, God can still be there. And so God is telling Isaac, no matter what you're going through, no matter how great the famine is, just stay right there because I'm still God. And every now and then you got to savor the goodness of God. You've got to relish the goodness of God. You've got to rely on the goodness of God. No matter what you're going through, you've got to remember that God is still good. And I believe the saints of old said it right when they said that God is good all the time, and all the time God is still good. And so God says to Isaac that you've got to stay there and you've got to savor the moment. But then he also lets Isaac know that while you're there, while you're savoring the moment, you got to sow. You've got to sow some seeds. He's letting Isaac know that if you want to be blessed, if you want to receive the blessings that I have in store for your life, that you must be willing to put something in. You can't always think about making withdrawals, but every now and then you got to make some deposits. And I want you to know, my brothers and sisters, that oftentimes we live out our lives and we always try to get something out of something, but we're not willing to put anything in. But I want you to know that the real way this thing works is that oftentimes if you want to get something out of something, you've got to be willing to put something into it. Don't always be busy about trying to take something out, but every now and then ask yourself the question, what have I put in? You know, even when it comes to the worship of God, you can't expect to get something out of the worship if you're not willing to put something into the worship. You cannot expect to come on Sunday morning and get joy in your heart if you don't come with some joy in your spirit. Every now and then you got to come and bring something to the table if you want to get something from the table. If you want something out of the glass, you got to be willing to put something in the glass. And I want you to know, if you put something in it, if you put something on the table, there's a God that's going to bless your life. And so what God says to Isaac is that if you want to get something out of this, you've got to learn how to sow. And I do believe that in life that we oftentimes just don't know how to sow. And so what God says to Isaac, that what you must be willing to do is that you must be willing to sow seeds. He tells Isaac that when you come to this land, when you're in the land of Gerar, when you're in a land of famine, that you must be willing to sow seeds. And I want you to know this morning that on occasion what God charges us to do is that he charges us to sow seeds. But you know, oftentimes people only think that they can sow monetary seeds. Every time you hear somebody talking about sowing a seed of a money, sow a seed of a dollar, sow a seed of this or that or the other. But I want you to know this morning that you just don't have to sow money seeds. But rather, you can sow a whole lot of things and God will bless it. In other words, if you sow a seed of faith, God will increase your faith. If you sow a seed of love and compassion and kindness, God will give you love and compassion. Because I want you to know that whatever you are willing to sow, God will bring it back to you. And therefore, whatever you want in your life, whatever you want God to give to you, learn how to sow it first. If you want God to give you more joy, learn how to sow it first. If you want God to give you love, learn how to sow it first. If you want God to forgive you, learn how to sow it first. If you don't believe that's how it works, listen to the words of Jesus. Jesus said it like this: give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall God give unto your bosom. For as you give it unto others, it shall be given unto you again. Give and it shall be given unto you. And so therefore, if you want something out of life, you got to learn how to sow. And every now and then you got to learn to sow a seed. And even though what you sow might be small, there's a God that is able to multiply it. And so therefore, I'm not concerned about how small the seed is, because I know if I take that small seed and I place it in the mighty hand of God, that God can do something with it that I cannot do. That I know that if I can place it in God's hand, that God will bless it in ways that are much too wonderful for me. And so God reminds Isaac that if he wants to be blessed, that he must learn how to sow seeds. But then he also reminds Isaac that if he wants to be blessed, that he has to be steady while he sows. Because you got to remember that this was a famine. And whenever there is famine, there is no real fertile ground. You got to remember that when there is famine, there is dryness all around. And so therefore, if Isaac is going to be in the business of sowing, that he can't just sow one day and then quit. But rather, he got to learn to keep on sowing. And so he lets Isaac know that if you're going to receive the blessing that you desire, that you must learn how to sow and sow with a steady hand. And you know, I believe that our issue and our challenge in life is that we don't know how to sow with a steady hand. In other words, we sow a little while and then we stop. And the reason that we stop sowing is simply because the blessing doesn't come as fast as we want it to come. But I want you to know that there are times in life wherein you're not going to get a hurry-up blessing. You're not going to get a quick fix. But every now and then, God's going to tell you to wait on it. And so what you have to learn how to do is that you've got to learn to keep on sowing. You've got to learn to sow with a steady hand. You can't sow at night and then go to bed and wake up in the morning and expect it to be sitting at your front door. But rather, you got to learn to keep on sowing. And I made up my mind, I'm going to sow all the time. I'm not going to sow a little while and then quit. But as long as God give me breath in my body, I'm going to keep on sowing. And I want you to know that if you sow with a steady hand, if you sow with a determination in your spirit, if you sow with a made up mind saying, I will not quit, even though I don't see it yet, I will not quit. I want you to know if you keep on sowing, by and after a while, God will bring it to pass. If you need a little more love in your life, just keep on sowing. It might not come when you want it to come, but keep on sowing. If you want a little more faith in your life, just keep on sowing and it will come. If you want a little more joy in your life, just keep on sowing and it will come. You've got to learn to sow with a steady hand. But then he also reminds Isaac that if you want the blessing, that you also must sow sizably. In other words, you've got to sow throughout the geographical area. You just can't sow in a small place. You just can't limit where you are sowing. But you must be able to sow everywhere you go. And I believe that one of the problems that oftentimes we face is that we limit where we sow. We limit the geographical area in which we place our seeds. Let me break it down, if I might, because what we oftentimes do is that we only sow to family members and friends. We only show love to family members and friends. We only sow forgiveness to certain individuals. But I want you to know this morning that you cannot limit your sowing capabilities, that you ought not limit your geographical area wherein which you decide to sow. If you don't believe that's true, listen to the words of Jesus again. Jesus said, don't just love those who love you. In other words, he's saying, just don't sow into people who show you love. But rather, the Lord said, expand your geographical location. He said, love your enemies. And then he said, not only sow in your enemies, but he also said, sow with those who persecute you. He said, sow into those that despitefully use you. Sow into those that talk about you. Sow into those that scandalize your name. Sow into those that are not part of the church. Sow into those that don't love God. Sow into those that you don't understand. Sow into those that you do not like. Don't limit your geographical area because you do not know who God will use to bless your life. So he says, that if you're going to be blessed, that you cannot limit your geographical location, but rather you must learn to sow sizably. But then he reminds Isaac that the reason that the blessing is really going to come, because as we get down to verse number 12, we find that Isaac did so. Because it says in verse 12 that then Isaac sowed in that land, and he received in the same year 100-fold. And then it goes on to say, and the Lord blessed him. And the reason that the Lord was able to bless Isaac was because it involved the opportunity to sow. In other words, what God gave to Isaac was an opportunity so that he might sow the seeds that God had blessed him with. And I want you to know this morning that what God has given all of us is the opportunity to sow. But unfortunately, we don't always take advantage of the opportunities that God has given. God is always opening doors that no man can shut, but yet we don't always walk through the open doors. There is a God that is always making ways out of no ways, but we don't always take advantage of what God has given to us. And what I'm trying to let you know this morning is that every morning you wake up, what God gives to you is another opportunity wherein you might sow. Every time God gives blood that runs warm in your veins, God is giving you another opportunity so that you might sow. And so therefore, you don't have to say, I'm going to sow tomorrow.